This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the screen, that's what this 25-yard route is going to look like. Nope.
Stafford is heading wide open. Xavier Smith, not sure how a guy gets that wide open right there, but a near disaster.
Well, because you're thinking that in route. Yeah. I'm shocked Stafford misses this throw. He got
behind everyone.
He might score. And this is a team that beat the Colts on a very similar concept this year. Stafford hits this.
Of Puka there.
That's a touchdown if he hits this. At least getting it clearly into field goal range. They beat the Colts on the busted coverage. Same thing to Tutu Atwell.
I wonder, hey, is that the throw or should that route have been flatter towards the sideline?
Yeah.
John Lyons, are you ready for Drake May to be MVP?
Mego, we talked about it yesterday. What's the line of demarcation on Matthew Stafford's stats, which will be too much, and he'll get the MVP? And good friend Matthew Stafford did us a favor last night by throwing not one, not two, but three interceptions. And I think right now, Drake May is in the driver's seat to win MVP.
I was very skeptical yesterday whether Drake May would be able to overcome the narrative of Matthew Stafford in his late 30s now, coming into the season with some kind of injury, banged up, not knowing what kind of season he would have, and it's an MVP caliber season, and that voters will be in love with that. And then he just put it on a platter for Drake May last night. As you said, you heard at the top of the show, that's the sound of Matthew Stafford missing Xavier Smith on a 1st-and-10 with his team down 27-24 against a team that is not going to make the playoffs, the Atlanta Falcons, a team that you saw, who, when you saw them, they were on the brink. Like, they were on the fence of, are they going to be sellers or are they going to try to figure it out and push for the playoffs? A team with, obviously, Bijan Robinson, a ton of talent around that, but just not enough to figure it out. Stafford finished the night last night, 22 of 38, 269 yards, two touchdowns. As you said there, three interceptions, including a pick six from Jesse Bates and a 64.5 passer rating. Regardless of what happens in week 18, is there any world now in which Drake May doesn't get the MVP?
I don't think so, because first, unless he has an absolute bomb in a bad way of a performance against the Dolphins. But no, I really, because we talked yesterday about the difference in the supporting cast and all the things Stafford has going for him on that, and from the coaching. And look, I love Vrabel and McDaniels, but he's worked with McVay for 5 years now. They've won a Super Bowl. But the O-line, the receivers, like all those things are in Stafford's favor. May still in the neighborhood. And now, from a national perspective, you look at their last two primetime performances. May has that great fourth quarter against Baltimore, 139 yards, touchdown, leads the game-winning drive. Stafford throws three picks. And you know it, I know it. Sometimes those national voters, they don't get to see every game these guys play, so they remember some of those national games. Because even May against the Falcons, you mentioned that game, May wasn't great in that game. He had that bad turnover before halftime.
Better than Stafford
but
was.
But he was better than Stafford, and Stafford did it on prime time. So, yeah, I think May is in the driver's seat. And a sneaky thing about this, we can get into it more as we go, I don't know how much Matt Stafford's even going to play next week, because you look at this NFC playoff picture, it's Seahawks 49ers for the NFC West. The loser of that game should still be ahead of the Rams, with Green Bay so far back. So the Rams are essentially locked into the sixth seed. And they're going to have to play, it looks like, Philadelphia, I would imagine, that wild card weekend. Stafford might not play at all, or at least that much, in this final game. So, yeah, I think May, to me, is firmly in the driver's seat now.
So that's the voice of John Lyons. I just had to get all of that off my chest to start the show. But this is Megan Ottolini, John Lyons. We're in for Jones and Keefe once again today. We were in yesterday. We're in until 2 o'clock when we hand it over to WEEI Afternoons with you guys. Of course, the place where we have to start is the MVP race, because the odds shifted dramatically overnight, even just during that game, because Stafford's first half was so miserable. According to DraftKings today, they sit at Drake May minus 400, Matthew Stafford plus 300. As you said, maybe there's a case where Stafford doesn't even really play in week 18. We can get into how much you want to see Drake May play in week 18 if you feel like his MVP campaign is tied to the time that he plays versus, you know, preventing injury.
Yeah.
Because you have a very serious shot at not just making the AFC championship, but maybe going to the Super Bowl now with the way that everything's shaking out. One of the reasons before last night that I thought that Drake May was still a bit of a long shot for MVP, even though he's had a historically great season, even though his season, this one, is really in conversation with some of the ones that we've seen from Tom Brady, that he's posted numbers where, as he said after the game on Sunday, puts him in the company of Drew Bledsoe and Tom Brady, the two greatest quarterbacks up to this point in franchise history. I still thought this is a second-year guy. And there have obviously been second-year quarterbacks who have won the award. Historically, you have Dan Marino, Kurt Warner, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, who's also won it twice. Jackson's the youngest to ever win it, just shy of 23. But I think when you have somebody like that going up against someone like Matthew Stafford, who everybody in the league felt bad for so many years because he's stuck in Detroit, he's trying to do right by a historically bad franchise, and then finally gets out, goes to LA, wins a Super Bowl, gets MVP. Like, there is a little bit of career achievement, want to do right by
Lifetime
that guy.
Achievement Award,
of course,
yeah.
And you don't know how much is left for him. I just don't know how you look at these stats,
yep,
and you look at the overall season and the winning and say that, like, in good faith, that you give it to Matthew Stafford now. I would love to hear anyone make that argument. I've seen some people on the internet who are obviously not local make that argument. I just think if you're a voter, you have a vote. It's a really tough one that to convince yourself.
And just kind of for reference, you mentioned Tom Brady. Like, the 2017 season that he won MVP, and granted, that was a 16-game season versus 17-game, he threw for 4,500 yards, 32 touchdowns, and 8 picks. May right now is at 4,200 yards, 30 touchdowns, and 8 picks. So I know he's going to have an extra game, but good chance he surpasses at least the touchdown numbers, if not the yardage numbers. And look, this has been floating around online, so this isn't all my original work. But if you just compare Stafford and May, like, okay, Stafford has more yards and touchdown passes, but now because of Stafford's game last night, they both have 8 interceptions. May has a higher completion percentage, yards per attempt. Obviously, he's a better runner, better QBR, better EPA. So I think if you had this discussion a week ago, 2 weeks ago, even when we talked about it yesterday, we were like, Stafford's numbers, there is a gap there. Like, those overall, the touchdown numbers, the interception numbers. But now, really, thanks in part to last night, that gap has narrowed. And you look at going forward with Stafford maybe sitting, and even if May doesn't play the whole game, I mean, we're talking about a Miami defense next weekend that is bad, and they're going to be on the road in New England. Like, I'm not expecting May to have 5 touchdown passes again and just go down the field like they did against the Jets, but I'm not shocked if he has 3, maybe even 4. And then we're sitting there at, okay, Stafford has 42 touchdowns and May has 33, and all the other numbers of May are better. Like, yeah. I think he's the MVP right now, but I think that it's even going to further cement itself this weekend.
Yeah, I think Stafford just straight up played himself out of the award last night. I really do. I think it's an important point that you made, that it was Monday Night Football. Stafford also just, this is not an original point. It's one that's been made over the last couple of weeks. He has so much more around him.
Yeah, we talked about it yesterday. I mean, if you put May on the Rams, they would win the NFC West. Much like they'd be right in that neighborhood. They'd be very similar to what they are now. If you put Stafford on the Patriots, they would still be really good. I don't know. Would they have 13? Maybe they'd have 11, which would still be good. They might have 11 or 12, but I think that's been the difference. Like, if you gave May Nacua and Devontae Adams, still leading the league in receiving touchdowns, been out for a few weeks, and Kyren Williams and that offensive line, yeah, I think we'd be sitting here talking about May with 40 touchdowns.
I do think, if anything, counts against May in this MVP head-to-head. Once again, I know people are sick of hearing about it. I think it's going to be how easy the schedule is.
Yeah.
I think if voters are talking themselves into Matthew Stafford and out of Drake May, besides all the kind of intangible career point that they are each at, stuff, they're going to say, well, I mean, who is really on the other side? And I don't think that's fair, by the way, because May has actually faced some good defenses. Yep. That Cleveland defense that he faced was really good. It's not the Cleveland defense's fault that they had Dylan Gabriel at quarterback. And we'll get into some of the other quarterbacks that a one seed currently in the AFC, the Broncos, have faced. It's not like there's terrific top-tier quarterback competition all over the league for everybody to face this year because of injuries and whatnot. But I do think that that may be something that creeps into this debate of who really deserves the MVP. I just think you have Drake May now. He leads the league total EPA, total QBR, passer rating, completion rate, yards per attempt. And one thing that you brought up there that I think is glossed over this in a lot, or a lot in this, is the mobility.
Yeah.
Like, the dual threat that Drake May is, he's not as big as a runner and a scrambler as he was last year. But, like, if you're sitting there and taking the quarterback position as a whole, and this is kind of why QBR was created by ESPN, because it's like, we have to take into account these dual threats and what you can do with your legs. Well, Drake May is a completely different kind of player than Matthew Stafford is. And I do think that that should be rewarded in this conversation. One guy is a pocket passer who has a tremendous arm and is very accurate. One guy is a mobile quarterback who's got a tremendous arm, has been very accurate, and also can freaking run when the play breaks down and can make you pay for playing man-to-man coverage.
And I think you look at some of the signature plays for May this year, whether it was that throw down the sideline to Diggs in the Buffalo game or that cover two hole shot also in the Buffalo game. Like, he was rolling out on that Diggs throw. Like, we've seen that many times this year where he's extended plays that otherwise would have been sacks or throwaways. And that's made a big difference in some of these games. I mean, there was a point, Mego, in the middle of the season where May had the best deep ball throwing numbers in NFL history. And I know it's cooled off a little bit, but they're still great. So, yeah, I think May's mobility is that, like, that's almost the counterweight to Stafford's schedule argument, if you will. Because, yeah, Matthew Stafford has played he's played the Houston defense. He's played San Francisco twice. He's played Seattle twice. Like, those are really good defenses. But he's also doing it with a much better supporting cast, and he's not had to do as much on his own. And like you said, I think it's such a great point that Cleveland defense, one of the best defenses in the league. Like, yes, Cleveland sucks. Their defense doesn't.
I think you said Cleveland sucks. This is an audio medium, so people can't see that you just threw up quotation marks.
I've been to Cleveland once.
So you're like, Cleveland sucks. I don't think that's how the song goes, but they do suck. I mean, you can flat out say that Cleveland sucks, even though they just beat Pittsburgh, and it's the most...
That's more about Pittsburgh not being that good,
I agree, too. But even on the text line right now, 617-779-7937, if you want to join the show on the phones or on the text line as Drake May's final push for the MVP award, the campaign is just absolutely soaring. Even on the text line, you have people texting in, well, 401. Well, Stafford played against a team that was actually playing hard and not a team in the Jets who have given up. Yeah, I guess that's fair. As I said, Atlanta, I think, is a much better team. And they're like the opposite of the Patriots. Like, their individual parts are better than the sum of them. They could never really figure it out this year. But they were not, they're not playing for the playoffs. Like, they don't really have anything to play for other than putting good stuff on film individually, or, you know, their own self-pride or whatever. It's not like they were making a push. And the difference between Drake May having an all-time great game for himself and Stafford basically just throwing up spaghetti on his sweater is, like, there's just no...
Ready to drop bombs?
You can't compare the two.
And also, like, if you want to play that game, like, Stafford played the Cardinals in December and they've given up and they scored 45 points against Arizona. So, like, if you want to play, and again, Stafford's had a tougher schedule. I don't take that away from him. He's played a lot of great teams. But I think, again, you add in, now the numbers have closed a little bit. Like, it's still 42 touchdowns to 30. May's going to have a good game this weekend. But those numbers have started to close. And I think when those numbers close, then you can look at all the other things that we've talked about with the supporting cast. And also the fact that you go back to the end of last year, Stafford started at a much more advantageous place than May. The Rams last year went to Philadelphia and almost beat them in the divisional round. Like, that was the toughest playoff game.
Okay, but this is...
The Eagles, but I'm saying that's... So May started from a new head coach, a new OC, a bunch of new guys around
him. But
that's
not really the award, right?
No, but my point is that, like, Stafford had the injury in the summer, I know, but he started from a better place, has had a better supporting cast all year, and May has closed the gap to that extent. Like, I think that is, should also be part of the discussion.
I think it should.
Too.
Like, that kind of stuff, there's this balance between the narrative stuff, as you're talking about, which I think is a little bit stronger than even some of the statistical, because the stats, we all know, you can put all sorts of context around them to make them fit what your narrative is. I think at this point, though, because you see a performance like that, from Matthew Stafford, I was not expecting him to be that bad.
No, and I
didn't know he could
either.
Be that bad this late in the season for who he's been his career. That was really just confounding. Again, we played the clip at the beginning with Dan Orlovsky, who just sounded gobsmacked that he would miss a wide open Xavier Smith there when it's first and 10 and you have the chance to march down the field. That's why you have Matthew Stafford. Like, that's why you keep bringing him back and paying him that money. If anything, if those roles were reversed, if you said this is quarterback A, quarterback B, which one is doing this in this situation, you'd say, well, it's the second year quarterback who the magic has kind of worn off, even though it's against a technically slightly inferior opponent.
And I know some people on the text line and will say, well, you can't overreact to one game. But I think when you have an MVP race this close, sometimes one bad game can make a difference.
Yes.
Like, and also, it's the same thing like pitchers in the Cy Young race in the MLB. Sometimes one or two bad starts in September can lose you the Cy Young. Like, when it's this close, like one bad game might be the difference between Stafford getting the MVP and not just like too. In all fairness, Mego, if Drake May goes out and throws four interceptions against Miami on Sunday, then that could lose him the MVP, which I don't expect to happen.
If he throws one interception, should they yank him? Because they're like, first of all, we don't want him hurt.
Yeah.
Second of all, we can win with Dobbs against this Miami team. Third of all, it's going to hurt his MVP.
Yeah, campaign. Yeah, right.
Can't,
yeah.
We got to keep the kid from hurting himself.
Quick pull so he gets the MVP.
Yeah, you know, really
like the Joe Mazzulla keeping Tatum in games so he gets 30 points, right? But again, when it's this close, sometimes one game like that. So we don't want to overreact to one game, but sometimes when the race is this close, it really can be one bad game. Because May's one bad game to me was the Raiders game all the way back in week one. And you could say the Pittsburgh game too, but it's just so long ago that I think from a national perspective, this one by Stafford hurts more.
There is one text I want to read here from a 401 number. Have to disagree with Stafford having a better supporting cast, especially when Puka was hurt at times and he didn't have Adams the last two games. I think you're on drugs.
Like, yeah, and also Adams being hurt leads the NFL in touchdown catches. Like, that's how good he was. And Puka's been top five. I mean, you could take your pick, whether it's Chase, Jefferson, whatever. Puka's been a top five receiver the last 2 years in the NFL. That offensive line is terrific. I mean, Alaric Jackson, who plays tackle for them, was the guy I wanted the Patriots to sign instead of drafting Will Campbell last year. Like, that's how valuable I think he is. Like, that's a great offensive line. So, I'm not telling you May's supporting cast sucks, but Stafford's is just objectively better.
No, well, nobody's saying that.
Stafford's is objectively better.
It's just better. All right, that's where we're starting today. The quick conversation around MVP after Matthew Stafford just really puts it on a platter for Drake May last night against the Falcons. 617-779-7937 if you want to join in. If you want to defend Stafford's campaign, if you think that's still alive with Week 18 on the horizon. Right after trending, we're going to look at some developing storylines around the playoff picture, particularly with the Chargers just screwing you out of the one seed. It's just going to be the Broncos in the one seed. Accept it. You're going to be playing on Wild Card Weekend. We get you ready for that right after Trend.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dang.
Hey. 3-4! has major playoff implications for the NFC. And today, Jim Harbaugh, the Chargers coach, made an announcement with major playoff implications in the AFC. He is going to rest Justin Herbert and other starters for Sunday's game against the Denver Broncos, in a game the Broncos have to win to lock away the number one overall seed in the AFC to give them home field advantage through the playoffs. In that game, the Chargers now will start Trey Lance at quarterback, and it will be up to Trey Lance to try to find a way to upset the Broncos in Denver. Jim Harbaugh figured, essentially, the Chargers have to go on the road in round one, no matter what. And it was more important for him to rest Justin Herbert, who's dealing with a fractured left hand, to get him an extra week of rest before they go on the road. The Broncos are the big benefactors of that, and it could lead to a first-round matchup between the Chargers in New England against the Patriots. Mama knows, but she don't care.
She's got her worries too. Seven kids. Welcome back. That's the voice of Adam Schefter detailing the decision that Jim Harbaugh shared yesterday afternoon with the LA media, saying that, of course, Justin Herbert is not going to be playing in week 18. It's going to be on Trey Lance to beat the Broncos. Otherwise, the Broncos run away with the number one seed in the AFC and the only bye week, or rather the only bye that week, because they've done away with the two bye system. Were you surprised by that decision, even considering Justin Herbert's broken hand and, you know, that they, again, are going to have to be on the road no matter what?
I really wasn't, and a lot of it's Herbert's broken hand. But then you look at the Chargers season this year, too, and some of the opponents they might play. Now, they did beat Denver earlier this year, but it was in L.A. So if going to and they'd have to go to Denver potentially back-to-back weeks, which would be tough to win both of those games. But they lost to Jacksonville by four touchdowns earlier this year. They just got, I know it was a close game against Houston, but they got pushed around through much of that game, and I don't think they would beat Houston again. So they probably look at it and say, hey, we've lost to Jacksonville, we've lost to Houston, I don't think we go to Denver back-to-back weeks and win. So our best chance is to probably play either the Patriots or whoever wins the AFC North, but we'll rest guys and just take the risk on it being the Patriots there. So, I mean, I think they're going to lose when they play the Patriots, but I understand why they did it. Yeah.
I think that it's a smart move by Harbaugh, mostly because of the quarterback injury.
Yep.
But I also think it speaks to a little bit of disrespect.
Oh, sure.
It's a little bit of disrespect here, Patriots. And I see people on the text line hilariously calling us homers. I mean, you're sitting there in full New England gear.
Yeah, I've never disputed that I am a Boston sports
I
fan.
I had a meltdown on air yesterday over having to admit that Jaden Daniels is not as good a quarterback as Drake May right now. That's the reality
of it. I like
that
you threw in right now, too.
Right
good
now.
Move. Good move.
I'm allowing for the future.
Yeah, because, hey, Daniels was better last year.
He was better last year. Drake May definitely has the
way
edge
better
this
year.
I mean, Jaden Daniels was not in the MVP conversation.
I still like both of them better
than
Caleb Williams, but
I agree with
we
that.
We can have that discussion another day.
Maybe that's a discussion for Friday when we're back on. I think this is disrespectful to the Patriots.
No, it certainly is.
Any way you look at it, they're telling you it's more important that we rest our guys, primarily the quarterback. We can go to Foxborough, even though we play in a dome in L.A. in soft, cozy Southern California. We barely have a fan base. We're going to travel all the way to outdoors in Gillette Stadium. And we're not scared. We're not scared of your quarterback. We're not scared of your coach. We're not scared of your defense. Like, we prefer that. We're going to give ourselves an extra bye week, a little extra vacation. We're going to get ready for you, but not that big of a deal. This is our choice. This is their way of controlling their situation, and they choose you.
Yeah, and would they rather go all out and maybe play Houston or Denver in the wild card round, or rest guys and play the Patriots? And they're picking that path, right? And then we'll see if the Bills
really think Houston and Denver are better than you.
Yeah.
And yeah,
I think
that's what it comes
I think
down
they're
to.
More, you know what I think it comes down to? They're more, and I think that when you talk about the disrespect angle, it's the Patriots defense. Because I think that Houston defense just shut down the Chargers. The Denver defense is really good, and they'll see them this week. I think they'd much rather play. And the Patriots defense, by the way, most metrics, they're top 10 outside of the red zone where they suck. Most other metrics, though, they're top 10. But I think L.A. looks at it and says, hey, Ladd McConkey and Justin Herbert and Hampton and Blake Corum. No, sorry, not Blake. I had the wrong. But we like our chances against that Patriots defense. And also, I think it's worth adding, the Chargers, they lose Joe Alt, they lose Rashawn Slater this year. They have two backup tackles. Patriots pass rush has struggled this year.
What do you mean struggled? The pass rush is largely non-existent.
So I think they look at it that way, is you're not going to get as much pressure on us as, say, Jacksonville or Houston or Denver would. And even though, yeah, we got to go on the road, we're going to have to do it either way. So we like our chance. So that, to me, that's the disrespect angle. It's not the May thing. I don't even think it's a Vrabel thing. I think it's a Patriots defense thing.
No, I think that's very specific. I think overall, you said it, they look at you, they look at Denver, they look at Houston, they say, we have to go to any of these places. We'll take our chances with the Patriots, who seem to be having a Cinderella season. 617-779-7937 is the number if you want to join the show on the phones or via text. Here's Eddie in the car. Eddie, you want to talk about the Chargers?
Yeah, good morning. You know what's funny? I couldn't even remember what city they play in. That's how good they are. you know, this is going to be chalkboard material if the Patriots do end up playing them in the first game at home. It'll motivate the Patriots. It'll give them something extra to play for. So, you know, if they think that they're better off playing against New England, that's a better shot they have, that's great. But you know what? Sometimes you got to be careful what you wish for, because they may be very sorry they end up in New England playing the Patriots.
All right. Thank you, Eddie. Yeah, look, the
I agree, by the way.
The bulletin board material stuff, because of the way that Mike Vrabel has those guys like in his pocket. When you talk to those guys in the locker room after a game, you basically know what Vrabel just said in the post-game speech, because they're all going to echo it. During the week, they all echo it. I just wonder, I remember before the second Bills game, we were saying kind of the same thing. Oh, the Patriots aren't favored against the Bills. And then it was very close. That line was going back and forth. But we were saying, oh, it's going to watch out. It's going to be bulletin board material. Like, Vrabel's going to have his guys fired up. I don't think this team has a problem getting fired up against an opponent. They have a problem sustaining it. And I know the Ravens game, you got that great fourth quarter, and that was a nice way of bucking that trend. This team almost always comes out pretty fired up, even though the defense lets up, scores.
Second drive on.
Overall, they come out with their hair on fire. I don't think they need bulletin board material. I think that, like, I'm not sure how much that's going to play in their favor. I more just think it says something about the rest of the league does not really think you've arrived. Later in the show, we'll get into more evidence of that. I don't think the rest of the league feels like you've fully arrived. I think they feel like you're having a nice season.
And I think, though, Baltimore material can be overrated, but I think this year, we've seen them in some of those situations respond well. Like, I go to the week two game against the Dolphins. Remember how bad they were against the Raiders? People were questioning, hey, can May and McDaniels coexist? And what's up with this offense?
I mean, then, people were guessing that like 3 weeks ago, too.
True, but that was like a big instance of it. And then they came out offensively, played really well against Miami, especially early. They were really fired up. The Bills game on Sunday night, there was like, oh, well, they beat the Panthers. They're 2-2, but they'll give Buffalo a game. They won't win. And we saw what Diggs did that night. We saw them that night as well. People said similar things going into the Baltimore game as well. So when they've had instances to respond to things like that, they've largely done well this year. So I think that can help a little bit, but I would agree with you on that. I think it can be a little overrated, that stuff. And it's more about the Chargers just look at their potential matchups and they see Denver, they see Houston, they see Jacksonville, they see the Patriots, and they say, you know what? We're going to have to go to one of those places.
They'd rather take Patriots over Jacksonville? Like, do they really think that Jacksonville might be in the mix is the question.
Well, Jacksonville beat them by 4 touchdowns this year. And I know it was right before the Chargers bye week, so maybe they weren't fully into it, which is a problem for themselves anyway. But yeah, I think they, to me, that this is saying, hey, we're worried about our QB's health and we don't want to push it, because if we push it, we're going to end up playing maybe Denver again or Houston or whoever. And if we don't push it, we'll play a Patriots team and we're fine with going there.
Yeah, I think that's it. At the end of the day, that's what it is. Look, yeah, you can say that he's putting Herbert's health front and center, but I would say that if he had taken more time off during the season, he's been managing that hand. They've been winning with it. Like, I think that this is just...
And it's other guys, too, because
right.
Schefter's cut said they're... It's not like, oh, Herbert's not playing.
Herbert's the front and center difference
And the
maker.
Other 21 starters are playing. Like, Schefter said there's other guys that are going to be sitting, too. Like, if he was just sitting Herbert with the injury, then I'd be like, okay, it's just... But it's Herbert and other guys too.
All that said and done, how much of a difference do you think it makes for the Patriots to not have the number one seed, to not have the bye week? We heard Will Campbell is most likely practicing. That's what Mike Vrabel said yesterday, this week. So you'll have him eventually coming off IR. But then you have Milton Williams still up in the air. He could have been off IR last week. They decided for him not to be. They really need him in the run defense. And then Mac Hollins, you're not going to see for several games.
The AFC Championship game, right? That would be the
next
time.
If you get
there. Yeah, if you get there. So I think it's just it's disappointing to not get the number one seed for the obvious reasons in that it's extra rest. That's good for everyone. But especially this team with the lack of depth and some of the injuries you just talked about, they could have really used that. But I will say this, for a first round matchup, if I had to pick one, a not fully healthy Justin Herbert and the Chargers coming across the country, like,
that's the ironic thing.
As the caller just said,
be careful. They're picking you, and you're like, bring it.
If I think of the potential first-round matchups, like, and I'm not as scared of the Bills a third time around. Like, I think the Patriots would win that game. But I think the Chargers is the most, and that Chargers defense, look, St. Juste is a great corner. Derwin James, a great safety. It's still Khalil Mack. Like, that is a really good defense. But I think if Justin Herbert's hand is 70% and they're coming across the country on the road, like, I like the Patriots in that game. Like, I think that's an advantage. I'd much rather play them than Houston in the wild card round.
I'd agree with that. The other side of this is there is one other game that could matter for you. I mean, a lot of these Week 18s matter in terms of how the playoff picture shakes out, which is pretty fascinating. It's the one thing that's kind of worked out for the NFL so far this year, especially after that Christmas slate of games. But Bills play Jets. Is there any world in which the Bills decide to sit Josh Allen? He's been banged up.
Yeah.
And they decide, hey, like, let's sit Josh Allen. We don't really care if we fall again. We don't care about seeing the Patriots. They're a good team, but they're not a great team. And they have Mitch Trubisky. Even in that scenario, though, I feel like Mitch Trubisky would probably be able to beat the Jets.
Still win. Like, that's how bad the Jets are. And it's in Buffalo. So I think the Bills could tank that game and still win. But if I'm Buffalo, just perspective of the Bills, hey, we just went to Gillette Stadium, played a really bad first quarter, and still won the game like a month ago. Like, so are they really that scared of coming to New England? Like, again, I think the third time around with a healthy Milton Williams and a healthy Spillane, I would pick the Patriots to win. But just if you're the Bills and you can say, hey, we'll have a healthy Josh Allen and we got to go to Foxborough and where we've already won this year, I don't think they're that worried about it either. And I think these teams will find out the hard way. I think the Patriots will win, but I just think from their perspective, and you and I talked about this yesterday, I think some of that goes into the decision of the Bills going for two against the Eagles at the end of the game. Because they even then, they said, hey, if we lose to the Eagles and we end up playing the Patriots because we're the seventh seed in the first round, we're okay with it. I think that was not the biggest part of the calculus, but I think that factored in a little bit to McDermott's decision even on Sunday.
Okay, do teams fear the Patriots as they try to sort out their own seeding in the playoff picture, Week 18, again, looming on Sunday? Should they be more afraid of the Patriots? We're going to address that on the other side of this break.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Welcome back. Jones and Keefe are out today. Megan Ottolini and John Lyons in with you until 2 p.m. I believe we are talking to Tommy Curran of NBC Sports Boston, Patriots Talk Pod, at about noon. We usually do on Tuesdays on this show, so we're hoping to chat with him, get his take on the MVP race, on the way that seeding is shaking out, on the Chargers' decision to bench Justin Herbert in favor of his health and going on the road into Foxborough.
Breaking news, just received a text from Tommy Curran. He will be with us at noon.
Wonderful. Great news. Thank you, Jackson. Okay, so you don't want to miss that. And if you feel like you've missed anything this morning, because Bradfo and Scheim had a terrific morning show, you can always find us on the Odyssey app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. You can listen to us live on WEEI there, but you can also use the rewind feature. So you can go back, listen to anything from the morning show, listen to anything that you feel like you might have missed if you wanted the MVP conversation at the very top of this hour. Seems like kind of a divisive topic. There are people out there who are like, it's an individual award. I don't really care. Can we just talk about what the team's going to do and like what I should be afraid of with the team? I kind of get that too, because it is a construct of the league. But for year two quarterback, again, this has only happened with four quarterbacks besides Drake May if he wins it. And I think that really points in his favor of how historically significant it would be for him. All that to say, Drake May is one of two Pro Bowlers who were named this year from the Patriots. And when you look around at the rest of the AFC, and particularly teams that aren't even playoff teams, once again, I think that speaks to some disrespect to the Patriots. And guys, I don't care if the Patriots are being disrespected. Like, I'm not, again, I'm not a Patriots fan, but I do think it speaks to a reality that the rest of the league is looking at you and going, that's cute, they're early, they're having a fun year, but are they really to be taken as seriously as the Bills and Josh Allen?
And I think the only way to counter that is they're going to have to win a playoff game,
yes,
to be honest with you. And you know it, like, so many times with any sort of all-star game, whether it's the baseball all-star game, Pro Bowl, whatever, what you do the year before makes a big difference on the voting. Like, the guy who comes out of nowhere and hits 40 home runs is more likely to be an all-star the year after than the year he actually hits 40, because people are like, oh yeah, that's the guy who hit 40 home runs. And I think it's the same thing with the Patriots here. I think they're going to, and by the way, the Jacksonville Jaguars are going through this same thing too. Like, until these teams win a playoff game, they're not going to be respected. Like, you and I watch the Patriots every week. We are at training camp. You go down there and cover them, and you see practice. So up close, like, we see, hey, they still have some things they need to work on, but, well, they're really good.
Practice,
like,
this time of year is a lot of stretching the quads, stretching, yes, the hamstrings. But, you know, what we get to see. They do real practice, yeah, but we don't get to see that.
They do a good job stretching, as you see. But we see how good they are. And, like, we can sit here and say, hey, their run defense has to get better. They do need a better high-end pass catcher for next year going forward.
Red zone offense.
Red zone offense and defense. Like, we see the flaw, but we also see them up close every day, and we're like, hey, wow, they're really good. I think from a national perspective, when you talk about some of these other teams, fans, Pro Bowl voting, they look at it as, oh, that's a team that won four games the last 2 years, and yeah, they're better this year, but they've had an easy schedule, so how good are they really? And again, I think they say the same thing about the Jaguars. I think they say the same thing about the Chicago Bears as well. It's like, until these teams, namely the Patriots, actually win a playoff game, that's what it's going to take, I think, for some people to change their minds.
I think they have subverted expectations so many times this year. After that Buffalo win, which I still say was the signature win of the team this year, there were a lot of games where I kept watching Drake May and saying, passer ratings, not a perfect way to measure a quarterback, especially a dual threat quarterback like Drake May, but I kept watching and saying, he can't keep ripping off these 100 plus passer rating games. And then really for me, when it turned, was that second half against the Browns, when he, like, there were these other moments like Tampa Bay, like Atlanta, where they have tough competition and they perform really well. But when he marched out against Myles Garrett and showed that toughness and had a nearly perfect passer rating in the second half of that game, I was like, I'm kind of done saying that he's going to slip up or falter. And I just think so often when you're not hyper local like we are, it takes a while to catch up. And maybe that's, you think that that's being a homer, but I think probably I've been more cynical about this team than a lot of people on the station in waiting for the other shoe to drop. And it just hasn't. It hasn't. Maybe it will in the playoffs, but at this point, everything so far this season has led me to believe that at least the opponents that they're seeing early in the playoffs are going to be ones that they're able to overcome.
And I think this is something, too, if you want to go back a few years, that a lot of people did with Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. Until they went toe-to-toe with the Patriots in that AFC Championship game in 2018, a lot of people are like, hey, this is a great young player. The Chiefs are good, but how good are they really? And then they go toe-to-toe with the Patriots in the regular season. Then they do it again in the AFC Championship game. And even though they lost both of those games, by that point, they had won a playoff game. They were there. And then I think people are like, okay, Mahomes is one of the guys now. Like, it's not just he put up good numbers. Like, he's one of the guys.
On his way to being the guy.
Exactly. So I think that's, again, that's what it's going to take with May. That's what it's going to take with the Patriots. I think even Vrabel, when he was in Tennessee, a lot of people didn't take him seriously until he beat the Patriots in that wild card game in 2019. And then people were like, oh, wow, okay, maybe this Vrabel guy is legit. Right? And that wasn't his even first year there. So I think that's what it's – they're going to have to beat, whether it's the Chargers or if the Bills really tank and it's them in the wild card round – they're going to have to win that wild card game. And then I think people, all of a sudden, divisional weekend, we're going to see pregame shows with people saying, wow, the Patriots are legit. The Patriots are a Super Bowl contender. It's going to take that.
There are national shows where people are saying the Patriots are back and the Patriots, you know, there is that perspective from the national media. I'm not really interested in the national media. Yeah. I'm more interested in what coaches, executives, and players on other teams think of this team. And that's where, look, I look at the Pro Bowl voting. I know that's not like, ugh, it's not a perfect measurement. I just do think that this is notable. When you look at the totals of all the winners on each team, Broncos, Ravens, 49ers, and Seahawks all had six selections each from their team. Chargers, Cowboys, Lions, Eagles, they all had five. In comparison, you had two. Within the AFC alone, the Steelers, who might not make the playoffs, had three. The Bills, who everyone is saying Josh Allen doesn't have enough around him, all he has is James Cook, who was a Pro Bowler, they had three. The Texans, who people look at and say, well, that's a really scary defense, but otherwise maybe an unbalanced team, they had four. And I do think part of this has to do with those are teams who have been there before. They're still a little bit looking at, you were such a lousy team the last couple years. You're having a great season, but they don't think that you're a great team yet. And maybe that's fair. I just think that's how they see you.
And I think you look at some of these teams, you could argue that they have better rosters than the Patriots. Like from a star power perspective, like the Ravens, they're not as good a team as the Patriots, but do the Patriots have anyone on defense as good as Kyle Hamilton?
Like, do many teams have anyone on defense?
But that's my point.
And,
like, and then
Hamilton?
Roquan Smith is a star. Like, Zay Flowers fumbles too much, but he's a really good player. Derrick Henry's a Hall of Famer. Lamar Jackson's probably going to be a Hall of Famer someday. So, like, that's the thing. I agree with you. I think the Patriots are a better team than the Ravens, but they might have more. 49ers, great example, right? Like, George Kittle, probably better than any weapon the Patriots have. Like, right there. So, Trent Williams, better than any offensive lineman the Patriots have. So, I think that's where it comes in, is some of these, even the Cowboys, like CeeDee Lamb's a better pass catcher than anyone the Patriots have. So, again, and I think the Patriots are a much better team than the Cowboys. They're better coached. Their overall team is better. But I think a lot of people outside of New England, they look at this as, hey, this is a good team, and Vrabel's a good coach, and May's a good player, but the sum is greater than the parts, right? And I think they look at some of these other teams and say, hey, the Eagles have X, Y, and Z star, and that's why they get all these Pro Bowls.
Yeah, I just think that they don't think your team's that talented.
I think compared to these other teams, yeah, I think you see that in this. Yeah,
but
for
it's
sure.
Funny because when you look at the Bills, who have three Pro Bowlers, like, are they significantly more talented than the Patriots?
I don't think so.
I don't think
no.
so either.
I don't I think you can say Josh Allen's better than Drake May. You can say James Cook is better than any of the other Patriots offensive players. You go beyond that, like, I don't know. Like, is Christian Benford really that much better than Marcus Jones? Like, I don't think so. Like, he's a great player, but I don't know. Is he really that much better than Marcus Jones? I don't think so. So it's, and you look at some of their other pass, Stephon Diggs is better than any receiver the Bills have.
Absolutely.
Like, so you go, and the offensive lines we can debate. Maybe I'll give the Bills a slight edge, but then Milton Williams, better than any defensive lineman the Bills have. So, yeah, to your point, I think the Patriots are better than the Bills.
Okay. Well, that's just my take. I think it's better to be earlier than to be later. I think the rest of the league is still late on you. I think that they still feel like, cute little team. Like, gosh, wow, great for Drake. Maybe he'll win MVP. This is great. And hey, maybe you'll use that to your advantage. Maybe it'll work in your favor. Maybe that's better than being like ultimately feared. I just think that that's what everything over these last 2 weeks, while we're in this kind of quiet period as the season is winding down, what everything's saying about you, what everybody else around the league is kind of telling you. On the other side, though, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I do want to talk about the number one seed that it looks like it's going to be in the AFC, which is the Broncos, and whether we need to put them on fraud watch a little bit. Fraud watch right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.